We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Les German. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Great, blessed, and highly favored. Thank you.
Amen. It's good to see you this morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I will get those uploaded to our website shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more, they make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Remember, like, share, and comment to let us know that you're joining us, even if it's later for the replay. That helps us spread the word better across Facebook land. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes, Lord, we just, again, Lord, we just come to you this morning, and we first of all, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord, who you are. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we just thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you, Lord, that you have our back in every instance and every event that we face. So, Lord, I bless these women that have faithfully come here every day, Father, to advance your kingdom and to spread your word. And Lord, we just ask that this morning, people that are listening, their lives will be transformed and changed because of your word and your power, your love going forth. In all this, we just give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Your Voice.
Yeah, off and on, God has really dealt with me. And not just me, his family, his ecclesia, with the voice that we speak. The spoken word, I believe, is the most powerful thing in the universe. Mm-hmm. And our Heavenly Father, what he speaks, he creates, doesn't he?
Yes.
We are made in his image. So what we speak, we create, good or bad. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I've always said this for years. I've told my kids when they're, I said, life is a do-it-to-yourself project. You know? And what you speak, you're going to get. They're like spiritual seeds being planted in one of two gardens, and I promise you there's a harvest coming. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 18:21. We've got to get this. And I've made reference to this on this program in the past, but Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of the tongue is life and death. Those who love to talk will eat what it produces. Mm. I'm telling you something, people. You got to understand this. What you speak, you're going to create. The enemy is... I didn't wake up... We didn't wake up this morning, and the enemy says, oh, I think we'll leave him alone. No. No. John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates us because we're part of God's family, and he's not. So sorry. How stupid is he getting kicked out of heaven? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So in that, he wants to shut our voice, or he wants us to agree with him. So when we mess up, when we make a mistake, and we hear this little voice, and it's really strange because he uses our voice. It sounds like us. Mm-hmm. Isn't that strange? Or not strange, but clever, I should say, from his point of view. But our little voice starts, we start hearing this, oh, you're stupid, you're a loser, you're this, you're that. if we take a second and we agree with him, I'm sorry, we are empowering the enemy. Mm-hmm. We give him more power. We open that door wider for him to come in and mess with us even more, and he will. Oh, he just loves it when we do that. So I want to encourage people to stop agreeing with the enemy. So when you hear that negative self-talk, self-condemnation, I want you to slam the door to it. Literally, I want you to, in your mind, I want you to hear a door slam and just say, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to receive that. That's not what my Heavenly Father calls me. Would our Heavenly Father ever call us stupid or a loser? No. I may have said this before, but I'm going to repeat it. Lots of things I'll probably repeat because people might need to hear it again. Hello. Mm-hmm. Because that's how we learn. But the Lord spoke to me some time ago, and he said, Les, he said, I went to the cross to get your sins forgiven, but I also went to the cross to give you guys power and authority to kick Satan in the teeth, and I expect you guys to aggressively advance my kingdom. Luke 10:19, he's told his disciples, which we are, right? I give you guys all power of the enemy. Mm-hmm. All power, all the time. We got to get this. And it's not some pride thing. It's responsibility. So in that, he also told me, he says, I do not want you to walk behind me in false humility. I do not want you to walk in front of me with pride. I went to the cross so you could walk beside me. Whew, that gives me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a powerful mm-hmm. word that he gave me. And I went, oh, my gosh. So we don't run ahead of him. We don't, poor me, walk behind him with our heads down. Poor me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I am so sick of that. Mm-hmm. I hear that once in a while. It's just like, get up to speed, buddy. You have been given spiritual weapons of warfare to defeat the enemy. Jesus came. What did he say? I come to defeat the works of the enemy. Mm-hmm. We're here on this earth to defeat the works of the enemy. I'm sorry. That's just our job. We're enlisted in his army. I don't mean to get cranked up, but it's just.
Get cranked up. It's okay.
It's okay.
Okay. We just got to get this. Went to a conference. I'm going to Chuck Pierce down in Texas. He's a prophet. We went down to, that was way back, about a month ago or so, went down to what they call Head of the Year, Head of the Jewish Year Conference. And Chuck says that we're in the Jewish Year of Pay, mm-hmm. which means mouth, speaking it out. He says, the Lord said, I want to go face-to-face with you guys, face-to-face with the Lord. And Chuck says that the roar of the Lord, this was to me powerful, the roar of the Lord, the Lion of Judah, mm-hmm. okay? The roar of the Lord will overtake the breath of the dragon. Hallelujah. So what is the voice from your house, people? What is the voice that is being loosed in the atmosphere into the spiritual realm? Is it a voice of hope, encouragement, or is it doom and gloom? Okay? We see a lot of stuff going on in this country and in across the world too. You know, and Lord, let me just stop and say, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Lord, I don't understand it all, Lord. I don't understand the brutality. But Lord, we just ask you turn this to good. The enemy wanted to attack and cause destruction. And you're a God that reconciles, and you're a God that heals, and you're a God that reconstructs. So Lord, we just thank you for doing that, however it looks, Lord. But help us to stay in a mindset that you are in control, mm-hmm. Lord, that you're going to turn this to the good, and lives will be transformed, and people will come into your kingdom that otherwise would not ever have a chance. So, Lord, your word says you wish no man you don't want anybody to go to hell. You don't want any man any person, Lord. You want us all into your kingdoms, Lord. We just thank you in advance for what you're going to do and the way you're going to turn that whole situation. So, what is the voice coming? Because we can, if you wake up, let me just say this. If you wake up every morning looking for opportunities to call yourself a victim, I promise you, you're going to find them. Mm-hmm. The enemy's going to be right there and showing you, look at that. But if you wake up every morning and say, today is going to be a glorious day in the Lord, and set your sights on what the Lord wants you to do, keep your eyes on the Lord and what he's done for us, then the enemy's defeated in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff will happen. I get it. I mean, everybody's dealing with stuff. But it's how you handle it. Jesus was tempted, you know, 40 days, remember, in the wilderness, taken up on a high mountain. And Satan said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. I love this stuff. Jesus locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. I can almost hear that shotgun, you know. He locked and loaded and used the spoken word of God as a weapon to defeat the enemy. Because what did he say? Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. It says Satan departed. I'll bet Satan ran in fear. Because he's getting shot at by those, mm-hmm. by that ammunition, which is the spoken word of God. And that is to be used to defeat the enemy, I'm telling you. So, I love the fact that our words, our spoken words, I'm telling you, is going to determine our future. I really believe it affects our health, physical health. And again, I'm not trying to judge. How shall I say this? It grieves my spirit to hear people talk about, yeah, my cancer, mm-hmm. my accident. Mm-hmm. My this, my that. They're taking ownership of it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it just is, my opinion, I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. The accident that I had, yeah, I get that. Or, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. But I just don't want people to claim that stuff. Because I think it gives an enemy an inroad mm-hmm. to cause more of it, is all I'm saying. Because the word says, speak to the things that are not as though they are. So I'm going to declare health. I'm going to declare righteousness. I'm going to declare the opposite from what the kingdom of darkness wants me to say. We need to be operating and speaking the things of the kingdom of light. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, anyway, I just want to align with what the Father has for me in my future. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because then it will manifest. Mm-hmm. God told me one time, he said, Les, he said, your actions and your words tie my own hands. And I thought about that for a second. I said, but you're God. He goes, yeah, I am God. But I don't break my own rules. I went, oh, my gosh. So what we speak, people, we get, good or bad. And so I'm just really encouraging people to be sensitive to the words that you speak out of your mouth, or even, I think, even the thought life, because that's where Paul writes in Corinthians. He said, take captive all thoughts, mm-hmm. because that's where the enemy. And just let me tell you what, in our counseling years ago, I remember a couple that came in for counseling, and she was thinking he had an affair, okay? And let me just tell you how it progressed. He never had an affair. He actually passed a polygraph showing that he was telling the truth. I didn't have an affair. But in her mind, she thought she had evidence. So here's how it started. The enemy, I don't know, he said something, did something. I don't remember all the details, but basically the enemy got in there and started to whisper lies to her. And it started out by she was thinking, I wonder if he did this. And as time progressed, I'll bet he did this as time progressed. I know he did this. He didn't do it. But in her world and through her filters, she didn't shut the door to the enemies, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay? She felt a victim, all this and that. Yeah, he probably said something that was not appropriate. Sometimes us guys are clueless. We just we don't have filters either. Yeah, we don't mean to hurt, but she took it that way. And so the enemy expounded. The enemy made it that lie grow bigger and bigger and bigger to where she was convinced he had an affair. So we sent them to a polygraph examiner, and he passed it. Now, what I'm saying, he didn't beat the polygraph. He didn't beat it. Right. In other words, he wasn't lying and beat the polygraph. He passed it. So that tells, from my law enforcement days, the reason they don't allow polygraphs is because basically 1% to 2% of the people are totally nuts, crazy, don't even know right from wrong. Mm. And so that's hard to determine sometimes. I get it, but that's why it's not allowed in court, because there's just a very, very small segment. So this guy was not crazy. He knew right from wrong. So he passed the polygraph. So that told us he was telling the truth when he said, I did not have the affair. But you see how the enemy can get in there. So be cautious and be very, very conscious, I should say, of your thought life as well. Because your thoughts turns into words, and words will turn into actions. Okay? That's where the enemy has his kind of an inroad sometimes to us humans, because mm-hmm. we're weak. I get it. But it's called the T-cycle, thoughts, emotions, actions. Starts with a thought. We dwell on the thought, mm-hmm. thought, builds up the emotions. And I forget the psychologist that came up with that. It was really good. I think there's others that have kind of taken that. But thoughts, dwelling on thoughts, turns into emotions, and it turns into actions. But it doesn't have to be negative. I mean, it could be good thoughts. It could be a fantastic, righteous emotion, like, all right, you know, getting fired up for the Lord will turn into good actions. In other words, it doesn't have to be negative, mm-hmm. but all too often it is. Because the enemy is right outside that door waiting to pounce on us. But we can defeat him. We can defeat him. So we need to realign ourselves, I guess. If you're speaking negative, it affects people around you, you know. I've been with people, I hate to say it, but I've been with people that they're so negative all the time. I'd speak a word of encouragement, and they'd spin it to negative. Mm-hmm. And I'd throw something, well, no, this, well, then they'd spin it. Nothing was good in their life. Nothing was good in their life. Oh, my gosh, it just made me, it hurt my heart. I don't know how else to say it. But, and I prayed for them and stuff, but they didn't want to hear any words of encouragement, or they didn't want to hear the truth. I'll just say that. And they were so blinded by the enemy. And God bless them. I hope they've got open heaven. I prayed on open heaven so they would hear God's truth and feel his love and turn from that negative self-talk and that negativity, because here's what I believe. I think our bodies are physical. We need food to survive and live, right? Well, I think the demons thrive and feed on our negativity. And I want to starve those demons. I want to starve them out. So we just got to watch our words. And the Holy Spirit, several times, I've said this many times on the show, that I start my day saying, Lord, let my words heal and not hurt. And help me see people, Lord, through your eyes, not mine. So what's that doing? That's basically giving the Holy Spirit permission to tell me to shut my mouth. But I want it shut. Shut your mouth or it'll get ugly. I've heard that. I'm kind of a guy that likes to see righteousness. Mm-hmm. I like to see the wrongs righted, okay? Sometimes it's like, I want to tell that person, the Holy Spirit says, don't even open your mouth or it'll get ugly. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit would just say, they're my problem. Okay, Lord. I'll keep my mouth off of it, and I'll release them to you. Because in essence, they are his problem. They can fix it more than any word I can probably speak. Mm-hmm. Now, there's sometimes, you know, if they're receiving, God will tell me, go ahead and speak. But a lot of times, it's just like, lift them up to me and let me handle them because they're my problem. So, in a way, that's good because it sets me free from having to try to be their Holy Spirit. I cannot be anybody's Holy Spirit. So that kind of relieves me of what I think I need to be doing. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Lord. They're your problem. Mm-hmm. I'll keep quiet and step away. But I'll continue to pray for him because I know that the enemy's after him, and he wants to he just wants to defeat him, you know. And sometimes I'll just say this: we are sometimes our own worst enemy, you know. So anyway, that's I guess maybe what I need to say about that. But it's just to me is amazing that there is at this conference. Isaac Petrie talked about this. I love this. He said the Holy Spirit is prompted him that on the other side of the door is our inheritance. So what's that mean? That means that God has got a destiny. Everybody that's listening to me, folks, understand this. In the God's kingdom, you are accepted. You are a value to the kingdom of God, and you have a destiny and purpose to advance his kingdom. So if you can look at your life, that we have been sent here. Psalms 139, that's no accident that you're here. It says that all your days were written down before one of them came to be. God knew you he knew us all in the secret place before we was ever formed in our mother's womb. So that tells me our spirits were formed before the foundations of the earth, before God even made the earth. So our spirits were present. I can't explain how, or it doesn't matter, but I believe our spirits were made and formed before the foundations of the earth. So I'll just say this, that my spirit is on the very, very top shelf. It was right between Adam's and or maybe Moses and Abraham's. I mean, you know. I'm his favorite, didn't I tell you? I'm telling you. He makes us feel like we are his favorite. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's pretty cool. But our inheritance is just on the other side of the door. So what's that mean? We've got to understand that we have a purpose. Your life means so much to God. Our lives mean so much to the kingdom. Or else Satan would leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Okay, I look at it this way. If I'm not battling something, then I must not be advancing God's kingdom. You know, if I'm kind of like putting everything on pause or putting it in neutral and just coasting, well, Satan's not really too worried about me, is he?
Right. No.
But if I'm putting it in drive, I got the pedal to the metal, and I'm advancing God's kingdom in every way I can, then I'm a threat to the enemy, and he doesn't like it. So he's going to throw stuff at me, so whatever. But guess what? We win. Me and the Holy Spirit, we are a majority.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that. He's defeated. And I really think that Satan walks around. I know this is simple, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It works for me. But I really think Satan walks around with this huge magnifying glass. He can barely carry it. It's so big. And he puts it in front of himself. So when we look at Satan through this magnifying glass, he is scary, bigger, meaner looking than he really is in real life. Okay? So he also, we have a situation. We have an obstacle. We have some event. And I'm telling you, people, it can be a tragic event, just like this family. You know, that lost their 14-year-old mm-hmm. Saturday night, in that ATV accident. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine the grief they're going through. And so, Lord, we lift that family up, too. And the driver, this 12-year-old boy that was driving the thing, he's going to carry this rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we don't know how you're going to. Grief is a funny thing. It really is. I've been through it. So, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We know that you're God that heals. Lord, we just ask that you would just give them peace and comfort at this time. And just, I know you're going to give them whatever they need, Lord. But we just come alongside of them and just lift them up. We share in their grief. But, Lord, we just know that happier days are ahead for them, Father, that this boy is in your kingdom. He is in heaven, best place you could ever be. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Lord, we just again lift him up. We just ask you to send angels to comfort him at this time in Jesus' name. So I don't know where was I going with all this.
You're talking about the door.
The doors, yeah. Inheritance. Our destiny and purpose is on the other side of that door. We've got to open up. God does not kick that door down to get to us. He doesn't do that. We have to open the door for him to mm-hmm. enter, and he's right there. He's waiting. In fact, I think he's got his ear on the door listening, waiting for us to walk over and open that door for him to come into our lives, because that is his will, is for us to be kingdom advancers. You know, Petrie talks about, look at the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Now, in the spirit realm, the door was open for them to leave Egypt, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And think about this. They had more wealth, and it was almost like overnight. Boom. They had all the gold, and the Egyptians were going to get out of here. And then, I don't know, does that make sense? That when we walk out of our present situation that could be negative, it could be horrific, it could be the tragic, like this family's going through, tragedy and the grief. My goodness, I've been there. I have been there. So the hardest thing, I guess, some days was very, very difficult. And I still have days that are not, but Lord is healing. But there were some days I didn't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I did not want to even eat. It just overwhelming. But God, the Holy Spirit was bringing stuff to me, saying, "You know, we're not done with you, Les. You still have a purpose and destiny. And I will show you." I will show you, because what God uses, what Satan intends for evil, God uses for good. So my point is, I've been able to share and help other people walk through their grief, because I walk through mine, still am. And grief is very strange. And I don't know why, I guess I'm getting off the subject, but let me just fill this. Grief is, so be aware that You're doing good, and bam, all of a sudden it slaps you back. And it could be in an instant, I mean a half a second. Bang, it just hits you all of a sudden. You hear a song, you smell a smell, you have a thought, you see something. I don't know, Kent, but boom, it happens. And you thought you was doing so good, and then it slaps you back. It pulls you back like there's a rubber band tied to you, you know. And in those moments, God wants to let us know that he's present with us, is all I can say. Mm-hmm. That I don't look at the grief. I don't look at my loss. I look at the Lord, knowing and I rejoice. Donna's been gone almost 2 years. I rejoice in her eternity. I really, really do. She's made it. Are you kidding mm-hmm. me? She's not even missing me. And that's okay, because she's in heaven. Mm-hmm. She made the trip. She is, that isn't that our ultimate goal, you know? So why he took her, I don't know. I don't know. I'll know someday. But the fact is, I'm not giving up on the Lord. And I've got a friend who knows, I don't even know this gal, but her husband passed away, and she hasn't left the house in over 2 years. Mm. Not even steps outside. Now, that's sad. It really is. I'm not going to do that. There's days, like just what I'm saying, there's days I just kind of crawled up in my chair and didn't want to do anything. But that didn't last long. It was like the Lord was coaxing me to say, come on, come on. We're not done with you yet. You haven't fulfilled everything I've called you to do. So, anyway, is there a prayer request?
Yes.
Do I need to shut up?